Welcome back. For Love of Food, Michael Warren Thomas. It's SavorLife.com, and you can check out previous shows on the website. You can email me comments and things about perhaps places you've been out eating. Just got takeout from Fiorella just last night, and their takeout, you have to get the order in like between 10:30 and 3 p.m. For that evening. So if you're going to go to want to get takeout from Fiorella, plan ahead a little bit, and you got to place that order earlier in the day. We got tagliatelle, which they make themselves. The pasta was roasted corn, zucchini, tomato, marsala, brown butter sauce, or brown butter, more like an oil than a sauce. It was just delicious, really an amazing dish. And then also their marinara pizza with some added mushrooms and arugula. So they also do their own pizza dough, and I think it's kind of like a wild ferment wine. They use essentially yeasts that are in the air to ferment and get the dough to rise for the pizza dough, and it's really good pizza dough. So if you haven't had one of their pizzas, you should try it. Lots of other things on the menu. And their cacio e pepe tonnarelli is also rave reviews about that, and a bunch of other dishes. So they are open for lunch several days, and basically Wednesday through Saturday, as well as dinner Wednesday through Saturday. So they're at the Public Market, Fiorella. And, Saturdays are obviously busy because of the markets open, but on, most of those other days, and certainly in the evenings, the market is not open and, vendors aren't there. You can drive in and very easily find a place to park at the Rochester Public Market on those off days and evenings. And of course, Cure is right there, just down what was formerly called Commission House Row, and Flower City Bread Company, and then on Railroad Street, just outside the market, of course, you have Rohrbach's and Black Button and Bitter Honey and Boxcar Donuts and Fried Chicken. And that area has grown tremendously in a relatively short number of years, and I think it'll grow more, partly because the parking is so expansive, and they have quite a bit of outdoor space. Fiorella has put up a big tent, and so that allows people an option to be outside. And also, speaking of which, being outside as the weather gets cooler, and this weekend is not going to be cooler. This weekend is going to be warmer, 84 tomorrow. So great chance to eat outdoors next couple of days. But then the temperature is going to go from 80 to 60 on Tuesday. So very appropriate article in the Democrat and Chronicle. Tracy Schumacher wrote about restaurants that have outdoor heaters. And there are many of them that some already had these. Some have added them. Some have added tents, trying to extend the outdoor dining period. And, when it's 60 outside and you have a tent with a heater, you're going to be just fine in terms of temperature. But there also was a note about these tents in her article and which ones are considered outdoor or indoor dining. And it's the Monroe County Department of Public Health says spaces that have fixed or temporary roofs are considered outdoor dining only if they have at least two sides of open air flow. So Keep that in mind if that concerns you, that tents that have sides all around them and just space for a door kind of are actually considered indoor dining spaces, and they have to abide by the 50% capacity and social distancing, which is a good thing. I think some preliminary reports that I saw, indoors is whether it's a business where you work, doesn't have to be a restaurant, it can be any kind of office or indoor business. Ventilation is sometimes great, sometimes adequate or not so good, and that makes a big difference in potential catching the coronavirus. So be aware, I guess. Again, Tracy Schumacher's article in Democrat and Chronicle gives you some places that have the heaters and tents. Some of them don't have tents, just have heaters. Unter Biergarten actually has an outdoor fireplace, as do several others. And restaurants, I don't think they're not trying to fool you into thinking you're in your outdoors with a big tent. They are, I think, well aware that they put sides on it. It becomes an indoor space, but it gives them a lot more indoor space, which is the key. They're limited right now to 50% indoors dining capacity still, and you need more people than that to survive as a restaurant, and the tents can provide that extra space and can probably be used well into certainly through October, probably some in November, maybe even into December. You can heat these tents, and the Chris Kindle market that happens in November, they heat those big tents. I'm not sure they're doing it this year, but in the past, some very cold weather, the heaters inside those tents worked quite well, and you could be really kind of enjoying essentially being outside without it being too cold. So fall and early winter here varies so much. It got very cold early November last year. That was strange. So who knows what this year will bring. But a nice list of places with outdoor dining and or basically additional capacity under tents. You do have to be a subscriber to the DNC. And as I said numerous times, $10 it's $10 a month for a digital subscription is, I think, a great bargain. So, DemocratandChronicle.com, you can check out that article about heaters and which restaurants are using those. And if you have a great experience, you really love the food, the service, how careful they were. Email me, Michael at SaverLife.com. I have to say Fiorella was exceptionally careful and really, the way they handled their takeout and things really, I thought that they did a great job. I went in the restaurant to pick it up. I got there a few minutes early, so they said, we'll just bring it out to you. So I enjoyed hanging out under the moonlight, beautiful night last night, and they brought the food out, and it also impressed me. It was right on time. I was early, but it was 7:30 on a Friday night, which is that's when restaurants are the busiest, and the chefs are cranking the hardest in the kitchen. 7, 8 o'clock Friday, Saturday nights. And they had it right out, right on time, and just some really excellent servers there too, I think, at Fiorella. So if you're not comfortable dining inside, Consider getting takeout, and you know, restaurants, many of them, if not most, will do curbside, so you can pull up, call them, let you know they're there, and they'll bring that out to you. And you know, it's nice to have someone else cook once in a while, and some great food, and the restaurants need our business. This is incredibly challenging time. All the extra expenses that they're going through with staff and the cleaning, the reduced capacity, these heaters, these tents. I mean, it is all money out the door, and not as many people coming in and spending money. So, you know, supporting them using takeout, gift cards, etc. You know, letting friends and family know what a great experience you have. Maybe, you know, you have friends or family who are being super careful, and, you know, you had great experience at a place like Fiorella, as I did last night. And, you know, that really, that builds confidence for people to be able to do takeout, perhaps, and feel like the restaurants are taking this seriously. Other parts of the country are not taking this pandemic very seriously, some of them, and I was a little shocked to see Florida decide just yesterday or day before that they were going to go to all 100% no restrictions on indoor dining in restaurants, which you know, given the number of cases that they have. And you can go to Johns Hopkins website and see the trends. You know, Florida right now has basically 11% positive cases as of yesterday. And that was like 2,500 new cases yesterday. And, you know, New York State, which is maintaining 50% capacity outside of New York City, 25% capacity in New York City, has maintained this straight line at under 1% positive cases. So check out other states, just, you know, where friends live, where you'd like to visit at some point soon, you know, and just see how these graphs go up and down. And it will hopefully make you appreciate more what's happening in New York State, where in spite of going back to school and, you know, colleges is, to some degree, and public schools, in spite of a whole variety of challenges this fall so far, New York State has kept that rate of positives under 1%. As steady as can be. So very impressive difference in these graphs. And you know, to have Florida open restaurants to a full capacity while still having these high positive case rates seems like a terrible idea. But I'm hopeful that here in New York State, again, having maintained that low rate, that they'll increase the occupancy rates in the very near future for restaurants to maybe 75% at least, and outside of New York City. And I'm hopeful that that'll happen fairly soon. I'm sure the restaurants are kind of desperate for it. But again, in the meantime, consider takeout and supporting them. And if you're looking for something in particular, some kind of food, or, you know, I don't know, you know, some outdoor experience or you know, beautiful view, etc., send me an email, michael@saverlife.com, and I'll try and give you some suggestions. Rochester Food Net, we've been posting things on Rochester Food Net for the various collaborators in Rochester Food Net, And the most recent one, Karen Cross Smith had posted when I'm pickling. She's been, this is on Instagram. I was down at Jerome's U-Pick in Naples a couple days ago, and they had some gorgeous looking grapes. I didn't stop to pick. I picked, you can pay for a basket of grapes at the roadside stand. So I brought a basket of grapes with me, which was made the car smell amazing. As I was headed down to Hammondsport into Watkins Glen. But Jerome passed away earlier this year, tragically for the family, you know, and not sure what's going to happen with that those vineyards after this year, but they wanted to, you know, he had maintained them this year, and they decided to go ahead with the U-Pick season at Jerome's. It's just south of Naples on Route 53, the road to Prattsburg. It's south of Naples by, I don't know, half a mile or maybe a mile. So this, I think, would have been the weekend for the Naples Grape Festival. And, of course, that is not happening. But there are lots of grape pie makers in Naples with their signs out. I stopped at Monica's on my way down. This was on Thursday, and got a couple of grape tarts that I could eat right away. And someone was picking up, must have been maybe 8 grape pies. They took away a couple of bags. And you may want to order in advance. I think a lot of them are frozen, so maybe that makes them easier to bring home. And Monica's is one of the best known of the grape pie makers, but there are many others. You'll find some of those represented and available here in Rochester. I got some of Jenny's. I got one of Jenny's grape pies at Gentle's Market. So they sometimes run out of them, but they have some of those. And traditionally, Casa Larga has had Cindy's grape pies. So you know, if you're going to these places only for grape pie, you might call in advance, make sure they have them. Sometimes they have several kinds, a crumb top or a more traditional crust top, and they vary somewhat. That's why you should try all of them, see what your favorites are. They take the seeds out. I think some of them may use the skins, although I haven't run into one of those in a while. It's fun to, you know, I tried a grape bread that I got in Naples on Thursday. It was all right, you know, kind of like a zucchini bread, but it had some grapes in it, some Concord grapes. There's lots of other, grape bars. I saw those on a sign for Mom's Grape Pies, and Mom's is on the same road where the Brown Hound is going to be opening their new restaurant. They're working on it. They've been posting about it on Facebook in a one-room schoolhouse, this red one-room schoolhouse in Naples. It's going to be called Old School, which is it's kind of a brilliant name for what is a historic one-room schoolhouse. They're working on it now and hoping to get it open later this fall. So I can't wait to see it. Just seen a couple of photos they posted on Facebook. And again, Naples not having the grape festival, but of course the grapes are there. They've been harvested and they're making lots of pies. And I got a pie. I usually get at least one pie each year, a grape pie, just because it's something rather unique for Naples and the Finger Lakes. You don't really see them for sale too many other places, any other times of the year. You can get them in the off season, and you can, I think, pretty much get them year round from places like Monica's Pies and probably Cindy's that make them and freeze them. But you know, it's the harvest season now, so kind of fun to go down and get a grape pie, usually made with Concord grapes. And if you want to make your own without having to crush the grapes, and I mean, you could get the grapes at places like Jerome's U-Pick, And there are quite a few farm markets that now have grapes available. But Arbor Hill, the grapery, and they are right just north of Naples, just south of Bristol Mountain, they sell a jar of something called Healthy Purple, which is basically Concord grapes without the seeds. I don't think it has the skins either. And it's grape pie filling. Or you can use it as a sauce over ice cream, or you can do lots of things with it. But you can buy it by the jar and make your own grape pie. It's delicious. But Concord grapes are kind of an acquired taste. And, so I guess one reason I don't have grape pies all year long, I had an awesome raspberry pie from Herd Orchards just a week ago, and the raspberries were so intense. It was pretty amazing, and I actually went to smaller pieces of it because it was so intense. And like I cut a normal piece of pie, and it was almost too much. It was incredibly delicious, but so kind of rich. And I went to like half size pieces because I ate it over several days, and it was just a spectacular, great crust, as always from Herd Orchards. But they also do an apple raspberry pie, which you should try because it's kind of the best of both worlds. It's not as rich and intense as the raspberry pie itself, but it adds some tartness and a little bit of an edge to apple pie, which is I think maybe a good thing. I almost like the apple raspberry better than the apple pie. So I hadn't seen that or tried one like that anywhere else. I'm sure other people do a apple raspberry, but the Herd Orchards one, it's really good. And we're going out there to pick apples today. So I'll probably come home with yet another pie, maybe an apple raspberry. You do have to make reservations to pick at Herd Orchards. And so we did. They don't want too many people out at once. And so call them and make some reservations. If you're looking for a specific kind of pie, like apple raspberry, call in advance and have them set it aside for you. The you pick is for apples is Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays. So not on Sundays. Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. Their market is open Wednesday through Saturday, and I think it's till 3 today. So call this morning if you're interested in making or in picking your own apples, and might as well get a pie while you're at it. And I talked to Amy McNamara a couple days ago when I reserved a time to pick apples, and she said they still have some peaches. The very, very end of the season for peaches, and it seems like that season is extending surprisingly long. And she was busy. I didn't have time to ask her over the phone why peach season is going so late, but I'll try to find out, let you know. Next week, take advantage of it, get some peaches, and sort of extend summer. It feels like summer this weekend, 80 degree temperatures, and the sweet corn still available, although that is coming to an end too. Any time after mid September that we still have sweet corn, I consider a great bonus, and had some more amazing corn from Gentles Market just last night, and hoping to get some more this weekend. So extend your summer with some of these summer crops. And one of the comments Karen Cross Smith had in the Instagram post for Rochester Food Net was that this time of the year, with frost and things affecting the farmers outside of Rochester, they've been picking, and so lots of pickling cucumbers and green tomatoes, and they had to pick some because of the danger of frost. And over the next few weeks, you're going to see some great bargains on some of these things, if you want to do some of your own canning or freezing or drying or just eating, it's a great time. I also posted a photo from the Minot Village Farmers Market on Wednesdays, partly as a reminder that these markets like South Wedge and the West Side Farmers Market, which is on Tuesdays, they only have a couple weeks left. They end in generally around mid-October, and so this Thursday is going to be October 1st. So just another probably 2 weeks or so of these neighborhood farmers markets. Of course, the Brighton Farmers Market, they generally go year-round, although I think I heard that they may close for a little while. So check their website. But they're open now, and they'll be open for, at least outdoors, I think, through probably close to Thanksgiving. You can go to brightonfarmersmarket.org, get more details. The Rochester Public Market stays open year-round, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays. But again, the farmers market season for a lot of the farmers markets, like the Saturday market in Perry, there's dozens of these local markets that winds down in early to mid-October. So get out to visit these markets and patronize the farmers, and it makes a big difference. Just a few more people going out and stocking up on local produce. I stopped at Lighthouse Gardens at the Brighton Farmers Market last Sunday, got some lettuce seedlings and planted those. So hoping for a fall crop of lettuce, and I actually put those up on our flat roof. We have a flat roof over our dining room, faces south, and it gets a lot more sun than our garden down below this time of the year. Just hours more sun because of the trees nearby. Neighbors' trees, the sun gets lower in the sky, and we lose a lot of sun in our main vegetable garden, on the ground floor, so to speak. But this rooftop really adds, again, hours of sun. It's great. So I got some lettuce up there, which, tomorrow at 84 is going to be marginally too warm for the lettuce. It would really prefer the 60s that are coming next week. So, email me if you have comments, questions, michael@saverlife.com. And also, Edible Finger Lakes is out. Get your copy. You can also, I think, see it online. Carrot collaboration with Fruition Seeds on the cover of it. And you should become a subscriber. They have a wine issue coming out soon, and it's a fantastic publication. So edible finger lakes.com for more details. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes this morning, and then tomorrow the grapevine. And the local harvest is in full swing in the Finger Lakes. The juice plants have fresh juice available. So we'll have more updates on that tomorrow. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com.